Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. With me today is our leading lady, Sonia Shelton, the founder of Executive Leadership Consulting. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. It's lovely to have you on our show. And today we are going to be talking about her book, Sonia's book, titled You're an Executive, But Are You a Leader? What a great question. So, Sonia, just really delighted that you could join us here today. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and about your business. As we know, you partner with leaders and high achievers to create a clear vision and build work environments where employees are fulfilled and completely committed to their organization's success. Wow.
Yes. So our company works with a variety of sizes of companies, from entrepreneurs all the way to global Fortune 100 companies. And we really help them in times of change. So whether they're whether an executive is just starting a position, or they are making a big change, or they know they need to make a big change, we help them sort of retool their vision, get clear about it, and then create what we call one vision, one voice, and one direction, so that all of their employees are moving in the same direction to achieve their vision, and they're not doing anything that doesn't help them get there.
Beautiful. And while at the beginning of the year, and this is our first radio show of the year for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books, it's a great time to be talking about change. What is something that you understand about change that you find most people don't get? I know we all start our new year with our resolutions and with, you know, all of our big goals and everything, and a lot of those, to implement a lot of those goals and resolutions is going to require that we change. So what can you tell us about change? I'm so curious.
There's a cycle that you go through when you're going through a change. So there's a point where you need to sort of honor the past and where you've been, and recognize that, you know, something is changing. So you might be, even if the change is a good thing, you're sort of losing something of the past, and honoring that and respecting that and letting that go. And then there's a process of, you know, doubt for employees, especially if they're going through a change. Is it really going to work? Do I really buy this? And then moving through into, okay, so they're, you know, maybe questioning it, starting to ask some questions about what does it mean for me? And the more you can communicate, you know, whether you're going through a personal change or whether you're going, you know, your organization's going through a change, the more you can answer those questions and recognize that it's a process and not try to turn it from, off to on. It's much more successful.
Oh, I love that. It's a process. Don't try to turn it from off to on. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So with your book titled You're an Executive, But Are You a Leader? I'm curious how you came to know that this was the time for you to write this book. What was the thought process or the decision-making process around that?
You know, I was really in a point in my business where I wanted to, at the time I was by myself. I had a few consultants working for me here and there off and on, but I hadn't really built a company. It was really, I was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And all of my business had been developed through my own relationships. And you know, our vision is to ultimately be a global consulting firm. So, okay. So I recognized that I needed to establish myself as a thought leader, and sort of take a stand about what we, you know, what we do and what we stand for. And the book really helped me clarify the model of one vision, one voice, one direction, as well as think about who my client is and what is it that I really want to serve them with.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I love that because I hear this quote often, and I think it's very appropriate for the process of writing a book, where it says, you don't write a book writes you. I think that there's quite some truth in that putting your thoughts and your ideas and your system down on the page does a tremendous amount for a person in terms of clarifying their vision and clarifying their mission or their movement or their thoughts or their ideas or their system.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you set out to write the book and you found that this was the process for you, was it was giving you a lot of clarity, how did it work for you in terms of the organization? Because as I was looking at the book, one thing that I noticed right away was that it was very well organized in terms of the content. How easy or difficult was that to come up with?
You know, I spent a lot of time thinking about who would be reading it.
Okay.
So I started my career as a writer, and all of my writing prior to writing this book was more from my perspective. You know, what is it that I want to say? And if for this book, I really took a step back and said, okay, I know an executive is busy. They don't have time to read. They don't really have time to read a 400-page book. And I went out and I looked at a lot of leadership books that are already out there that are successful, that are not successful. Just, you know, spent a lot of time on Amazon and in bookstores, you know, seeing what's out there and really putting myself in, you know, my client and prospects' shoes and saying, okay, so if I'm looking at this and I'm a busy person, then what would I want? What would work for me? What can I really digest? And so I designed the book for them. So it's one page is, you know, it's 50 tips. One page is the tip, you know, what you can implement. One page is, you know, how I worked with a client to implement that. And one page is, you know, some questions you can ask yourself about how to implement that as a reader. And so I really, you know, so it's something that a reader can come into and look at the table of contents based on where they are in their career or in their organization and say, you know, they can jump in whenever they want to, or they can, you know, read a couple of chapters and then come back to it. They don't have to refresh where were they. And I get a lot of great feedback that, you know, people are writing in the book and really using it as a tool as opposed to just something to read through.
Well, that's fabulous. And I love that you really did your market research. I think that's something that a lot of authors fail to do. And that is probably one of the biggest reasons that books fail is that an author, when they start their book, they're not clear, really, really clear on who is their target reader. Like who do they want to read the book? And then they don't research that reader's needs. So they write a book in the way that they want to write the book, the way the author wants to write the book, and they don't think as much about how a reader is going to or needs to absorb this information, how they're going to be able to hear it, how they're going to be able to read it. So I love that that was so front and center for you in terms of the organization. And then doing the market research, you know, going out there and taking a look at what else is on the market. And I find that people, and I'm curious for you, when you started your market research, were you worried at all that what you had to say had been said before and you were going to convince yourself out of writing a book? Did that thought or worry cross your mind?
Sure, at the beginning. When you look at, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of books on leadership, right? I looked at it more, it was a little intimidating at first, but I looked at it more as I started getting into it as a challenge. What is it that I can do differently? How can I stand out? And I was really proactive about where do I want to be the same, and where do I want to be different. So for example, on the market research part, I looked at other consultants who had written books, and I lined up their covers, and said what's common about them, and I actually designed my cover to look like one of them.
Fabulous.
And so it was, you know, putting me, you know, setting up the credibility, and you know, I printed in hardcover with embossed, you know, embossing in gold foil, and to really make it look high end and executive. So everything that I did was conscious about who is my reader and what is it that they're going to take away from this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I find that a lot of people that worry about doing the market research because they think they're going to find that their book is not going to be relevant in the marketplace often find the opposite, that as they do the market research, they can tell what areas of the market have been, you know, covered well, but they're also able to see, well, what can they bring what that's unique to them and their business and their voice. And instead of it being a disempowering exercise, it is most often a very empowering one because they're like, no, well, here's where I fit into the market, but here is where I can stand out of the market. And that's really the goal of market research, in my opinion, when it comes to books.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's also something about, you know, we all have our unique voice. So
as a consultant,
you know, I might be saying something to an executive or a business owner that they've been told by people who work for them. But because of the way I say it, they can hear it. You know, so as someone who's coming out with a book, you know, you might be saying something that other people have said, but you're going to say it your way. And people will hear it differently from you.
That's right. So tell me, like, what has been the result of the book in your business? What was your vision? You know, you explained a little bit about your vision so that you could establish yourself as a thought leader and take your business global. How has that been for you? What are the results that you have seen in that, in terms of what your vision for the book was?
Well, the first edition, so I've done two editions of the book, and the first edition really set me apart, and I apologize for my voice. I'm recovering from the flu.
That's fine. Thank you for being with us on the show in spite of the recovering from the flu. You're doing well.
Thank you. So I would say that for the first edition, it not only did it get me new clients and new visibility, but particularly in the global organizations that I work with, I started working with higher and higher levels of people, all the way up to the C-suite. So in certain organizations, I might have been working at a director or vice president level, and I would say within 6 months in those organizations, I was working at the C-suite because of the book. And
fabulous.
So it was a big jump there, and then I came out with the second edition and really pushed the marketing in a different way, because when I first came out with it, it was more about growing the business. The second time, it was really about promoting the book. And I became a number one Amazon bestseller on the second edition. And then that took it to a whole other level. And that's actually when I started getting people from other countries starting to contact me, when it actually hit that number one status.
Fantastic. I love that. Well, and I also just, want to congratulate you on having such a clear vision. You know, every author defines success as an author in a different way. And there are some definitions that I think are going to be harder, if not impossible, to reach, like I want to make $1 million from the sales of my book. Very few people can achieve that. But to be able to define what does success as an author mean for me, and then to be able to actually know that, like, you've hit it, that's fantastic. And it sounds like you were very intentional and very clear about setting out the parameters of, well, what does success for me as an author mean?
Yes, absolutely. And it's all, you know, also opportunities for, you know, being an author is opportunities for speaking, and mm-hmm. which promotes, you know, promotes the company as well as promotes the book. There are organizations who are a lot more open to have you speak for them when they know you have a book behind you.
Absolutely. So I just want to take a moment here to tell everyone, all of our listeners, go get the book. It's available on Amazon. You're an executive, but are you a leader? It's available in Kindle, and it's available as a hardcover book. And Sonia, I'd love to open the floor to you to give our listeners any information regarding how they could contact you personally or learn more about you and your company and your business, or hire you to speak or consult.
Yes, absolutely. So our website is executiveleader.com, and there is a contact form on there which you can reach me directly. And then, of course, our phone number, if you want to reach us, is 818-473-5323 or 818-473-LEAD.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I do hope that our listeners will reach out to her. I think Sonia is amazing and very talented and skilled in her area of expertise. So I have a few questions now about the actual nuts and bolts of writing a book. I would love to find out a couple of things. One is, what was the part of writing the book that was easier than you expected? And what was the part of the process that was more challenging than you expected?
I think the part that was easier than I expected was I outlined the 50 chapter topics right up front, and then really spending, and that probably took a longer than it sounds like it would take. But once I had that outline, the writing flowed. So once I had really decided, you know, what each of those things would be about, then the writing of it flowed much, much faster.
Fantastic. And the other part? The more challenging than you expected?
The more challenging, I would say, is the publishing itself. So finding the right printer, the right distributor, you know, all of the nuts and bolts of publishing, the publishing business, I had not had experience with. So, you know, finding the right company to work with and all of that was probably the most challenging.
And so obviously you got support. You handled the writing and the organization of the book and the, you know, developing of the content on your own. And then it sounds like you got support for the actual publishing, production side of things, editing, design, getting it into the book format, printed, distributed, and so on. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I had help every step of the way. So I had readers that helped me with the content, you know. So after I went through it, I got feedback. I hired an editor to go through it. I hired a professional book designer to design the cover. I actually hired a copywriter to do the jacket description. So because, you know, sometimes when you can write, but writing about yourself can be a little challenging. So I actually had someone else do that for me. And then I work with a company to print and distribute it.
Fantastic. And so it sounds like you, at some point, you took off your author hat and you put on your project manager hat, and you're like, okay, now I'm project managing the production of this book, and I'm going to hire the editor, hire the book designer, and that kind of thing. What what are the questions that you asked them, or what were you looking for? Was there, I mean, obviously you're looking for competence in a field, so somebody who's competent at editing and someone who's competent at design and competent in publishing, distribution and print and all of that. But what were some, besides competence, what were some of the things that drew you to some people or made you choose to work with and be supported by some of these people that were missing in others?
You know, it's I would say it's my philosophy and how I work with anybody, in that and what I tell my clients as well is, are they as excited about my vision as I am? So do they see, you know, do they see the potential of this? Are they excited to work on it? Or is it just a job? And if I get the sense that you know, I'm just another number to them, that's not in alignment with my values. And so so that doesn't work for me. I want them to be as passionate about it as I am.
Fantastic. That's such a great way of looking at it. I love that. And I think that authors everywhere can keep that in mind, is have a set of values and know what they are, so that when you're looking for the support that you need, you can easily determine if someone aligns with your values or not.
Yes,
so if you were going to give, sorry, that's right. If you were going to give someone, an author, a fellow author, some advice about the publishing process, what would be, you know, your you know, few tips of advice in terms of, you know, what you learned that you could give them some information or advice that would help their experience to go easier and better?
So the I would say on the writing side, what I did was I set time aside every single day to write. And I stuck to it. And it was, you know, whether I was in the mood to do it or not, I sat down and did it. And sometimes, and even it was like, even if it's not used, just the process of sitting down and doing it every day kept me committed to it. And I actually ended up having it completely done in 3 months. So it was, you know, just that, you know, putting the time aside and really committing to it. And not letting yourself off the hook on the days you don't want to do it. Just do it anyway, even if everything you write gets thrown away. Just do it anyway. So that would be number one.
I love that.
You know, as you're working with people, you know, you're looking for the publisher and your team that's going to help you put it together. You know, look for people that you think understand your market and understand what you're trying to do. So, and I would say talk to other authors that are in your field and ask them, you know, what their process was, and, you know, for referrals as well, because they're, you know, learn from other people's research and get referrals from people that work for them.
Fabulous. I love it. Such great, great advice. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you said that it took you about 3 months to actually write the book. Now, is that just the first draft, or is that like start to finish, ready to go to production and editing?
That was ready to go.
Wow, congratulations. That's amazing. How much time did you give yourself every day?
2 hours.
2 hours every day. Wow, Sonia, you are a rock star. I mean, that is what we always tell people to do, but very seldom do people actually do it. So I'm just very impressed with you. But see, look at that. What great results you can get when you actually give yourself the time to sit down and do it every single day. Did you include the weekends in that plan, or did you give yourself a day off?
I gave myself a day off. One day on the weekend. Was no writing, and I would say, you know, your comment earlier about, you know, looking at it from a project management perspective, I did that from the beginning. I actually before I started writing, I set a target date for where I wanted to publish, and then backed it up from there. So that was motivation for me to actually sit down and write every day, because I'd given myself, you know, like every day that I didn't write could potentially push back the release date, and I had, you know, I had a release date that I wanted to hit.
And did you have anything specific hinging on that release date, like an event that you wanted to, or a speaking engagement that you wanted to have the book available at, or was it just this is the date and there was some wiggle room?
Yeah, there was just this date.
That's fabulous. And then how much time did it take you once the book was ready to go to production until it was all finished and you had it in your hand and you had it online and it was like, now here I can start using my book?
That was actually the longer process, mm-hmm. because I had to reach out to people to read the book, to give me endorsements. Mm-hmm. You know, the design, the printing probably took another 6 months.
All right. That's amazing. That's great. So talk to me a little bit about endorsements. How was that? I noticed that you had some really great endorsements on your book. And I'm wondering, how was the process of that for you? Was that easy to do? Was that really a stretch?
It was definitely a stretch. So yes, I have some fantastic endorsements. I really wanted recognizable names as endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had the challenge of my clients, while in high-level positions at organizations, legally were not allowed to endorse the book from their companies. Their companies wouldn't let them endorse the book,
mm-hmm.
which really handcuffed me as far as, you know, who I could get. And I just started I used my network, and I just started asking people, you know, who they know, and is there anybody they know that you know, they thought that was a person of influence that might be willing to do it, and went from there and just used every resource that I could to find the people I wanted.
Congratulations, because that's a really big step. And I always tell the authors that I work with that reaching out for endorsements is your first opportunity to start promoting your book. And it can be a really big step, but it's worth it because you're going to have to start promoting your book. And you're going to need to learn to be shameless in promoting your book. So it's always a good first experience, but it can be quite a heart-stopping one, like, oh, my God, I'm going to ask so-and-so to actually say that they really like my book. And I'm like, yes, that's what you're going to do. And you need to do that. And then you're going to need to promote your book in every conversation and every time you open your mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also really made it easy for them. So, you know, I said you can write something you want, or, you know, here's three examples of something you could say.
That really does make it easy.
Yeah, because they don't, if they don't really have time to think about it, and if you're getting a person of influence, they're busy too, right? So they just trying to make it, you know, as easy as possible for them to say yes and check the box,
yeah,
and say this one looks good and go ahead and publish.
Excellent. That is fantastic. Well, we are coming to the end of our show, but Sonia, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for the wealth of information that you shared with us today. And again, I would like to recommend to all our listeners, go to Amazon, buy her book, You're an Executive, But Are You a Leader? It's such a great question. And I'm sure that whether or not you're an executive, we are all leaders in our own lives, and we can always step up to the plate to create more leadership in our own lives. So go to Amazon, buy her book. And Sonia, thank you so much for being here with us today. And so I am Bethany Kelly. Oh, no, the other thing that I wanted to tell you is that we are here every Monday morning for another Women Lead radio show, every morning at 9 a.m., so join us next week. I'm Bethany Kelly, host of Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Thank you for listening. And please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.